Thanks to Indeed for sponsoring the Apple Bits XL. Indeed knows hiring needs to be cost-effective when you're running your own business. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AppleBits. Terms and conditions apply. All right, yes, if you haven't heard the news, Apple will be doing an official event on May 7th. I'll have the details from that. And then also what the rumor mills, which are constantly changing, and they've changed in basically the past 3 days, but we will get you the latest of what to expect. So you know what time it is. Let's get to the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. It's the Apple Bits XL. Brian Tong here, your host. Doing the most for everything good and bad inside the world of Apple. Welcome, everybody. It is episode 304. So if you're new here, this is where we talk all about the latest news of the week inside and outside the world of Apple and the greater tech world as a whole. So thank you for joining us. And if you're a returning listener, thank you so much for supporting this podcast. We're going to talk about, yes, Apple's event, everything we expect to see and hear at the event, which has changed constantly over the past few days. And then Apple and AI, plus why this WWDC 24 to me is the most important WWDC for Apple in a long, long time. But first, let's take care of a few orders of business. First of all, if you want to be part of the show, I love hearing from you all. All you got to do is record a voice memo, send it in to applebitsshow@gmail.com. That's applebits with a Z, your name, where you're from, what you want to talk about, what questions you have. Maybe you all aren't that excited about the latest things happening around Apple, but look, it is summertime. Things are going to start kicking up, so I know there's things on your mind. Just send it in again, applebitsshow@gmail.com, and I will listen to it. Also, this show is brought to you by you. Patreon.com/Brian Tong is how you support my podcast. It's how you support my content. We talk about every show. It starts at $2 per month. $5, which is like a cup of coffee. We got the $10, the $25, and the $100 platinum Apple level. And what does it get you? Early access to content, rewards at different levels, and a completely ad-free version of this podcast. Plus, we do a monthly Zoom exclusive live stream. We have different contests and challenges throughout the year. And once in a while, I'll throw in some like inside access of what my whereabouts are. So then you kind of have an idea of what I'm actually doing and what might be coming next. So patreon.com/Brian Tong is how you support the show. And thank you so much for all of your support over all these years. All right, let's get into stories. And last week, yes, we're a couple days later, but look, sometimes it's better when these things bake. But last week, Apple officially announced their May 7th Apple event called Let Loose, which is expected to be the iPad event that you all know and love and have been waiting for. It has this main graphic of this folded up, kind of almost a paper mache looking Apple logo. There's a hand that is spinning and twirling an Apple pencil. I don't know if you grew up back in the day. That was like a very fun, hip, cool thing to do in high school. I don't know. It sounds silly to me to say this, but I don't know if high schoolers do it, but you always had two or three people that knew how to do all the finger pencils, pen spinning tricks. I was not one of those people, but that's what is in the logo. Now, they've titled it, at least on their invitation given to people, it's called Let Loose, but publicly, that terminology is nowhere in there, and Let Loose was written kind of in a handwritten looking way that clearly is indicating Apple Pencil, which would clearly indicate iPad. They also released multiple versions of a logo that are using different types of digital art styles that look like they've been made with some level of pencil or pen or brushwork. So yes, all signs point to an iPad event on May 7th. It will actually be a live streaming event, so it's something to watch. There looks to be no actual on-site component. You know, they're not going to do something like a WWDC or a iPhone level type event. This is kind of one of a more moderate announcements, but you have that coming really close. So that May 7th would be Tuesday of, let's see, is that next week or week? No, Tuesday of next week. If I'm correct, am I looking at my dates properly? Can someone help me out there? You know, my brain is mush. Yes, Tuesday of next week, 7 a.m. Pacific time, 10 a.m. Eastern time for the live stream. So let's talk about what we expect and all the rumors that are out there. You have, obviously, the iPad Pros leading the charge with the OLED displays that have been rumored for forever. Now, there have been rumors that the physical screen would actually potentially be a little larger because of the reduction of the bezels on this new display. We don't know if that's true or not, but from the last time we've heard, iPad Pro, right, 11-inch model and 12.9-inch model, they arguably or reportedly will stay roughly the same size. They might actually be a little thinner because of these new OLED displays not being as thick. I personally would rather them give that extra space to whatever additional battery that we could get. I think battery life is always important, no matter, even if an iPad has something like 12 to 16 hours of battery life, the more battery, the better. But, you know, if they can retain that battery life while getting a little slimmer, I guess I wouldn't mind that as well. Now, we've heard a lot of different things here, right? Obviously, you're going to get USB-C. OLED display is going to be the biggest thing. A new chip inside. Now, all indications had initially pointed to it being an M3 chip, but in the latest report that just came out earlier on Sunday from Bloomberg's Mark Gurman, he says that there is a strong possibility that the iPad Pro models will actually be equipped with Apple's next generation M4 chip rather than the M3 chip that is debuted in the MacBook Pros and the iMac 6 months ago. And he said, because the reason why we might see this, but again, he says strong possibility, is a key new feature of the M4 chip will be an upgraded neural engine, and that is boosting performance for AI tasks. And he believes that Apple is pretty much going to try to gear this iPad. What's the new thing? You get a new display. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about the keyboard and the new pencil, but AI powered device for the new iPad Pro using an M4, which would make me wonder, would the iPad Airs, which are also reportedly believed to be released alongside of these new iPad Pros, would those then not have an M4? Would those actually keep an M3 and the iPad Pros come with an M4? We don't know this. We're going to find out about it in basically a week. So this is going to be very interesting to see how that all shakes out. I talked about, at least with the Pros, a new Magic Keyboard. There's reports of it being more of an aluminum type or titanium metal-like enclosure that looks and feels more like Apple's laptop design instead of that kind of, what do we call it? Like a, was it a polyurethane, but more of that plasticky rubber style Magic Keyboard. Also, the Magic Keyboard for the new iPads reportedly will have a larger trackpad as well. And the iPad itself no longer is reportedly going to have the camera. When you hold your iPad vertically in that portrait mode, it's typically on the top. The reports are that that camera will be moved to the top center when you hold your iPad horizontally in the landscape design, which allows it to be more of a dead on when you look at the display and you look at the person you're talking to on FaceTime. It doesn't look like you're looking off to the side at all. I remember there were patents about Apple potentially like being able to manipulate or adjust how your eyes look. So if you were looking off to the side from a camera, that it would correct that, which is kind of freaky. But putting the camera in the landscape, you know, on that longer edge in the center probably alleviates all of that. Now, we know and have heard that there will be a new Apple Pencil. It's been, I believe, roughly 5 years since the last new Apple Pencil came out. Now, remember, this past year, Apple released that kind of stripped down, let's call it like an entry-level Apple Pencil that had USB-C, but, you know, to charge it. But, you know, you didn't have all kind of the level and the range of capabilities that the typical Apple Pencil did, and it started at a lower price point. So we're expecting to see a new, I don't know if we're going to call it an Apple Pencil Pro or if they'll call it Apple Pencil 3. We'll see how they reference it, but there's been a lot of talk of some of the capabilities it can do. One was the fact that the tip, there's been reports of a rumor that you could actually touch it onto a real-world item. It would then sense its colors and then be able to take that color and you could adopt and then use that color in your paintings and images. There's been reports of maybe several different types of pressure sensitive tips for the new Apple Pencil. But I think the biggest thing is that there reportedly could be a new Apple Pencil that has a squeeze gesture. Now, Gurman, just in this new report, says now that this new Apple Pencil that is expected at the announcement will feature haptic feedback for the very first time. Now, he didn't really give any details about how this is actually going to work, but the thinking would be that there's some sort of a Apple Taptic engine inside, much similar to like your phone, that will vibrate, but it would do that when switching between either drawing tools or activate with this rumored squeeze gesture. Now, before we get into anything else, when we talk about the Apple Pencil, I think if they could have the reverse side be used as an eraser, that to me is arguably more important than any type of squeeze gesture. Of course, I haven't seen what the squeeze gesture does. If it just changes between brushes, I guess. I mean, we saw the relationship between the floating hover feature with the Apple Pencil and some of the newer iPads, which is great for digital artists. But at the same time, I had a lot of digital artists tell me that that is nice, but what did not convince them that they absolutely needed to get a new iPad yet. And this is where we're at. Whether you're a professional or whether you're a consumer, the iPad has been such a good device for what it does, whether it's media consumption, reading emails, surfing the web, watching videos, playing games. And that, quite honestly, doesn't require the most power. Yeah, you could say, oh, gaming requires more power. They've boosted up the iPad Pro to really, truly do high-end video editing. But someone like me, who kept on saying, give me high-end apps on the iPad Pro. They did. They freaking gave us a Final Cut on the iPad Pro. And me being a video editor, guess what? I'm so used to using Premiere Pro on a laptop that I did try Final Cut Pro on the iPad. And I think it works great. But for me to change my entire workflow over to that, it's not happening. And I don't know any creators that have switched over to Final Cut on iPad Pro. And to me, it doesn't mean it's a failure. To me, it just means that this is a tool for that next generation of creators that are going to feel so comfortable with it that they can do more things on the go. And unlike me, who has been entrenched in other software and I'm the most efficient in it, and it would literally set me back 2 or 3 weeks, you know, to learn, to get comfortable, to re-kind of calibrate my workflow. I'll be honest, as a solo creator who, you know, shoots, writes, and edits 99.9% of everything you see, I don't have a team, not yet at least. You know, my being efficient is really important, so that's why I haven't switched over. So you have pros that really haven't jumped over. You have general consumers who have basically kept their iPad 3, 4, 5, even 6 years. And so it's going to be really interesting to see what Apple does at this event. I think, to me, there's a little bit of excitement. I mean, I do like the idea of an OLED display, but I think the general consumer, it probably, yes, if they put them side by side to an LCD display, they would be able to see the difference. I think if you put it next to Apple's latest mini LED display, you probably really wouldn't be able to tell the difference unless it's a scene where it's like the Apple logo against a black background and you see more of the blooming versus what OLED can do. From a technical standpoint, obviously, I love OLED, so that's what makes it compelling, but I haven't upgraded since I had an M1 iPad, and arguably after upgrading to an M1 iPad, I was like, man, I could have kept that generation before because I haven't really done too much different and it has all the power I needed, but I definitely didn't do an M1 to M2 upgrade. So this is interesting. If there are, you know, these AI features, then and it does jump to an M4 and there's an OLED display and there's a new keyboard and there's a new pencil, well then for me that makes it a lot more compelling. Now at the same time, will I actually use it differently? I don't know. You know, I kind of almost shrunk like, I'm not so sure. Now, the other story coming out of this, we talked about iPad Airs. Their expectation is for the very first time, we will get a new, larger 12.9-inch iPad Air to go alongside with the 10.9-inch iPad Air that currently exists and has always been really the iPad that I tell people, if you're going to get an iPad and you're going to start anywhere, look at the iPad Air first. It probably does everything you need unless you want a larger display. Now, to me, a 12.9-inch iPad Air is absolutely the sweet spot for everyone. You get a large display. You're not, you know, paying lots, you know, getting up to that potentially $1,000 price point, right? If you look at just even the lineup, I believe the iPad Air 10.9-inch starts at $599. And that's just for 64 gigs of storage. So I definitely think they need to bump that up to 128. But if you look at the current 10.9-inch iPad Air that starts at $599 for just a Wi-Fi version, the entry-level 11-inch iPad Pro with just Wi-Fi and 128 gigs of storage starts at $799. So would they squeeze, and this is a very Apple Tim Cookie thing, would they squeeze a iPad Air 12.9-inch in between $599 and $799 and put it in there for $699, right? So you're almost getting like an iPad at every $100 level, or, you know, maybe they take the Pros if they have an M4 and an OLED and bump up the starting price to maybe like $899 for the 11-inch. And because we know that the 12.9-inch starts at $1099, maybe they scoot that lineup because of the new M4, if that happens, and the OLED display. So there's a lot of things to talk about. Now, the latest rumor, or the earlier rumors, was that, hey, once the announcement came out from Apple about this Let Loose event, the 12.9-inch iPad Air, the new one, would come with a mini LED display. And when I heard that, I'm like, sheesh, mini LED on a 12.9-inch Air, that has got to be the iPad of the year, quite honestly, from a price standpoint, size, what it can do, and what people really, most people really need. Well, then a report said, no, sorry, that's not happening. Rosheng took it back and basically said, a mini LED 12.9-inch iPad Air is not happening at the event, and just expect it to still be an LCD display, which at the same time also makes sense, less confusion. You know, you have the standard displays for the Air lineup, and you still have, you know, OLED displays differentiating the Pro side. But Rosheng also said, also that 12.9-inch mini LED iPad, that looks like it could be something that's coming down the road later this year. So what if they do a later in the year iPad Air boosted mini LED display? Because we still are not expecting to see an iPad mini here, and we are not expecting to see a new entry-level 11th generation iPad at this event. And that could happen in fall, and they could release, you know, new iPads. I think there's a lot of demand and a lot of people looking at this event saying, okay, this is cool, but where's the new iPad mini? The last one came out in 2021. So I think we're ripe and fresh for new iPad mini, but it won't be happening at this event. So you'll just have to hold on to your butts. Now, another report about this Apple event. We talked about the Pencil, we talked about the keyboard, we talked about the two iPad Pros with OLED displays, and now the two iPad Airs. According to display supply chain consultants and a report that was on Mac Rumors, Apple is expected to use the best OLED panels on the market by far, this is in quotes according to the report, for the upcoming iPad Pro. The models would feature the latest LTPO type of OLED display, which is the most power efficient form of OLED. It would still have the 120 hertz ProMotion refresh rate and a tandem stack and glass thinning that will make this the ultra thin and light display OLED that still supports everything you get from OLED: high brightness, extended battery life, high contrast, you know, pop in, you know, whatever, P3 color gamut, billions of colors. OLED looks amazing, and again, the difference with OLED, it is pixel by pixel control, so when you turn off a pixel, you get a true deep black, and sometimes when you see a bright logo or images, you don't get this, what we call blooming, or this brightness around. You just see a clean edge from a black background to a very bright edge or surface. So the iPad Pro models reportedly will be getting the best OLEDs available, and the biggest thing about this is, like I said earlier, ultra-thin and light displays could make this iPad thinner and more power efficient as well. So maybe you're keeping the same battery life, but you're just getting a thinner iPad. I don't think it needs to be thinner, but I know a lot of people are kind of obsessed with this idea of like, oh, it's time to get a new product when the form factor actually changes. And I don't really subscribe to that as much because these products are so mature now. I'm looking for more functionality and more capabilities than I am make me the thinnest iPad possible. But hey, yeah, we'll see. All right, let's take a breather now to thank the sponsor of this podcast, Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. So don't search, match with Indeed. Now, if you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. It's leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And something that I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place super easy with Indeed's hiring platform. So candidates you invite to apply are three times more likely to apply to your job than candidates who only see it in search, according to US Indeed data. We get you one step closer to the hire by immediately matching you with quality candidates, and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AppleBits. Just go to Indeed.com/AppleBits right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/AppleBits. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, so we talked about the potential of an M4 chip with a new neural engine, most likely more cores, more capabilities, unlocking more AI features. These, you know, I'm going to put in air quotes, AI features, because we just don't know what exactly they are. Now, there have been reports earlier in March, towards kind of like the end of March, that Apple was in talks specifically with their iPhone for AI. They were in talks with Google and OpenAI, right? Two advanced AI platforms that quite honestly have been doing it longer than Apple. When we talk about consumer front-facing features or capabilities that consumers can actually use and touch today, I've talked a lot about in my videos about how I feel like the Pixel 8 Pro was the most impressive and innovative phone of 2023 because it ushered in a truly new era and new capabilities for phones with approachable, usable, and useful consumer features. When you talk about their Magic Editor for their photos, you talk about, you know, their audio correction and capabilities for videos. And I've also always been a fan of just not only their transcribing, but now they use AI to summarize your audio recordings and transcriptions, which is freaking awesome. Those are just a few of them, right? So Apple has been in talks with both Google and OpenAI to use their generative large language models as the backbone for new AI features on their iPhones, on their iPads, just to help them train them to get better and then use them the way that Apple wants. So the latest reports have been lately that Apple is still in talks with Google to potentially bring Gemini features to the iPhone. If you don't know what those are, look at some of the features that are on the latest Pixel 8 Pro and also the latest Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra lineup. This is directly now, you know, Google first put on their phone, and because of course it's Android, now other Android phones are adopting them because they're so good. Even real-time voice translation for phone calls to someone from another country. So Apple is in talks with Google AI, and according to Mark Gurman from Bloomberg, he claims they're in active negotiations to figure out, you know, how Apple can maybe license Google's generative large language models to help power some of their new features coming in iOS 18. Also, you have to look at infrastructure, right? Who has the hardware and the server capabilities to handle this? But in addition to that, Apple also wants to do their own on-device generative AI to let you do things like create potential content, create a dinner menu for three people that is gluten-free. I'm just making up stuff, but this is what you can ask these models to create: a three-course meal with the dessert, and you'll get a complete dinner layout of what you can do with instructions of recipes of how to cook these dishes, an appetizer, a main course, and dessert. You can ask these generative AI things this. You can ask, oh, help me plan a 3-day vacation to Joshua Tree. It will do that. Like, what sites to see, where to go. You know, this is just part of it. And then also generative AI creating images based on prompts that you send it. Like, if you've played with this stuff, you kind of have an idea. But some people are like, why do I need this? And it can be actually helpful. Apple's also reignited talks with OpenAI about using generative AI for iOS 18. So what this tells us is that Apple is clearly actively going to go all in on AI and use their large language models to help allow Apple to almost, not shortcut, but speed up their ability to deliver whatever features Apple's working on iOS 18. And maybe we see some level of integration of some of the features that already exist from Gemini and maybe OpenAI's ChatGPT also on the iPhone. Now, if they're still in talks right now, maybe it comes down to an announcement that happens at WWDC, but we don't see any actual features, right, that are, hey, this is coming to your phone yet. This clearly looks like, okay, they're trying to make these agreements. And remember, Google and Apple have a huge deal behind search, multi-billion dollar deal, where Google is the default search engine on Apple devices. So it's not like they haven't worked together to both be successful. And this is another way where, look, if you don't have all the expertise or if you're behind and you need a way to catch up, the best way to do that is to partner with someone or buy someone out that is doing that. So this is what's happening behind the scenes. You also have to remember that Apple recently, it was not super publicized or reported, but they had recently acquired and purchased a company called Darwin AI. And the reason why that is important is that is a company that actually uses their own technology for inspecting components during the manufacturing process. So this is to help companies focus on making smaller and more efficient AI systems on the manufacturing side. So Apple is clearly using the technology and the brains from Darwin AI to help drive some of their innovation in what they're doing on the chip side that we'll definitely hear about at WWDC 24 once that happens. And, you know, I said this before, WWDC 24, this is the most important WWDC for Apple in a long time. We know that just in general, the tech market, especially with Apple, it has, you know, to a certain degree leveled off, right? These products are so mature. They're so good. People don't need to upgrade as often. People don't have the money and expendable income to upgrade as often. And they're not really missing a beat because these products across the board, whether I'm talking about Apple or Samsung or Google, they're so good now, right? Phones are mature. Tablets are mature. You know, the biggest innovation we saw in computers was Apple Silicon that helped move the needle. And now other processing companies, processor companies and CPU companies have kind of changed maybe their view and have also started innovating because of that. But the computer's still the same. The performance for me just skyrocketed. But I haven't even purchased a new Mac since the M1 Max because it is so good, right? In the past, I used to upgrade my laptop maybe every 2 years, so now it's been 3 years. I probably could get away with a fourth year, but I'm guessing I'm going to be pretty intrigued by whatever AI features Apple shows. So WWDC 24, this is important for Apple because there is this perception, and I think perception is reality, where obviously many of you and myself have criticized Siri for not being a good enough assistant. This is where Siri can become a better assistant, whether they still call it that, or they name it something else, Apple needs to show off better AI capabilities, partially because this is the buzzword in tech. This is what everyone is caring about. This is what, you know, investors are looking. What is your AI plan, right? Apple needs to show us what they're doing in AI because, quite honestly, last year, I thought they were going to do something at WWDC 23, and it felt like a miss to me. It felt like that they were behind because they didn't announce anything or even give us a peek into what they're doing with artificial intelligence and features for consumers. So this will kind of lay out a bit of the roadmap this year of how Apple sees it, what they're going to do, and how their idea and their vision of AI can be useful for Apple users, and why is it compelling enough that we need to get hardware from Apple that has these new chips that support these new features So how good will those features be? Can they blow our mind? Is Apple playing catch up, or will they be able to maybe take another leap, another step above what's out there? That seems hard for me to see right now, but that's why we wait for WWDC to see what they're doing. Because, you know, you look at what Google and OpenAI have done for years, and Apple is trailing in that space. I mean, Apple obviously led in other spaces. So WWDC really, really, really important for the future of Apple. I mean, Apple's going to always be here. They're not going to sink, but maybe they level off if they don't excite us with something new enough. And if we're still talking about why I feel WWDC 24 is so important, you know what's another product that really is going to show us and indicate a lot about where Apple is going? You gotta say the Apple Vision Pro, right? This launched this year. My review that I put out, everything I said still holds true for people that have been asking me. I am going to do, maybe it'll be, I guess, a 3 or 4 month review. I'm kind of waiting to see what happens at WWDC now, because for me, I found that if I pack it up in a bag, which I have for a little while, and I take it with me to travel all the time, because it is, to me, it's a killer app on long plane rides when I travel, but not everyone's doing that. If I keep it in its bag in the corner of my house, I'm not going to use it. So what I've done is I put the Apple Vision Pro on my coffee table in my living room, and then I check it out maybe once or twice every week. But we need to see more from them at WWDC 24. And we also, you know, honestly, we need to see more content. Now, we know that I knew, even the way that they were talking about it, that this was going to be a slow burn. I still think the hardware and the technology is incredible. Yes, it has to get lighter. Yes, it has to get more affordable. But what WWDC 24 needs to show me and show us is, what else can this thing do? You know, Apple advertised it as a spatial computing. We need a little bit more control when we talk about using it as a computer from a file structure and navigation level. I think the biggest thing that has attracted me still to this day is content consumption and immersive video. But there's not enough. I think the biggest hint of what something could be special coming is, where have people really been wowed with this thing? And I think it comes down to, right now, interactive sports level type apps. So I showed off the NBA app, which everyone freaked out about. You look at the MLB app, which is incredible, showing the strike zones happening as you're watching games with their MLS, Major League Baseball agreement. But, you know, also, I don't know if you guys checked this out, but if there was any opportunity to showcase why the Apple Vision Pro can be incredible, the PGA app, Professional Golf Association, during the Masters was incredible. You would watch old replays, but you could watch the actual feed of, let's say, someone like Tiger Woods teeing off, and then there was a 3D representation below the video player of the hole, of the layout, that showed the trajectory of the golf ball and where it landed in each shot. It was truly freaking amazing and leveled up the experience that we get to see on TV now on Apple Vision Pro. So though, right now, sports has been a highlight for me, but we need to see more. And then also, they released like an immersive video behind the scenes of MLS season for 2023. And I need to see within, quite honestly, I doubt it's going to happen this season, but I'd like to see it for the playoffs. I want to see immersive video VR games from the MLS, because the camera placement that they showed in this video is already there from the field. There's a camera kind of above and behind the goal. There's a camera on the corner. There's a camera midfield. They can put a few more. The ability to real-time switch video feeds. We need to get there sooner rather than later, because people, I think the buzz has definitely dipped down. There's a recent report where Apple has slashed their actual overall total Apple Vision Pro shipments in half. And because of the demand in the US, meaning, yes, there's plenty of other countries that have not been able to get it, but because the numbers in the US have slowed down for the adoption rate, and quite honestly, we need new content, new apps, and new reasons or ways to use it. Now we're going to wait for other countries to get their launch, but because the momentum has slowed down here, Apple's projections have slowed down. Am I saying that this product is a failure? Absolutely not. But, you know, the latest report from Mark Gurman from Bloomberg says that it does not appear, and I said this in my review and in previous podcasts, Apple does not plan to launch a second generation version of its Vision Pro headset until the end of 2026. So we're talking about roughly a 2.5 year wait for the next model. That's what I said. I said at least 2 years, maybe 3 years. So my feeling on this was right on the money if this my feelings align with this latest report. And so it'll be interesting. I haven't seen too many people in the community, even within my app, my Patreon, which are really like, you know, our most loyal, devoted members, talk too much about Apple Vision Pro or ask them any questions. I think what people saw is, yes, the tech is amazing. It's just too expensive. So Apple needs to show us, okay, if you're going to pay this much, what type of experiences can we give to you that no one else can or ever has done? Sounds like a tall order, but I actually think they are able to do that. But the overall takeaway right now is WWDC 24. This is going to be huge, not only for AI, not only for iOS and iPadOS and the Mac, but even bigger, what is going to happen with Apple Vision Pro at WWDC 24? I think they really need to wow us and bring back a level of excitement that we felt when it launched, because it has tailed off a little bit. I'm being real with you. I've never not been real with you all. So we'll see what happens at WWDC. And then one last story, a little fun one. We talked about game emulation on the iPhone with that amazing Delta app and downloading ROMs and being able to play Nintendo video games. We know that another emulator called Provenance that supports Sega and PlayStation and Atari will be coming sometime. We don't know exactly when, but it is expected to come sometime this year. Well, that popular Delta retro game emulator that is available on the iPhone right now, they have said that they have recently announced that the app support will also be coming for its iPad debut, and it's coming very, very soon. They said it's almost ready. And why is that important? Well, the iPhone Delta app can be played on the iPad, but that's where you have to resize it and increase it like 2 times. So it's not like a true native app. They're talking about native iPad support is near completion. So for all you game emulators out there that love it, I'm extremely excited about this on the iPad because of the large screen and to be able to use a game controller and an iPad on a plane with retro games, Super NES, N64, that is incredible. So we'll wait to see what happens there. All right, everybody, that is going to do it for this week's episode. Before we leave, we got to give a shout out to our Patreon supporters at the $100 Platinum Apple level: Brandon Ledford, Gil Cabrera, Wesley Frater, Jared Lewis, Michael Gigliotti, Atari Koenigsegg, and Gregory Ford. Thank you for your incredible support, and thank you to all of you who continue to support my content, whether it's listening or watching. And look, again, just a reminder, we gave away on my Patreon, Patreon exclusive, an Apple Vision Pro to one lucky supporter. And also, it was my way of showing the community, like, you guys and gals have been incredible, and it's the least I could do. So I will continue to try and do that when I can, and plenty of other contests and challenges coming throughout the year and exclusive opportunities to do some cool stuff. So patreon.com/Brian Tong is how you support. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week. In fact, maybe we'll have some news of whatever might be happening at this event. What is it called? Oh yeah, Let Loose. It's time to let loose, everybody. iPad event, May 7th, 7 a.m. Pacific. So a whole lot to talk about, and we'll see what Apple does, how they can reinvigorate the iPad space, or, you know, will they do enough to reinvigorate your spirits about the iPad? We'll find out soon. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's show. Take care, be safe. We'll see you, talk to you on the next one. It's the Apple Bits XL, baby. Peace.